out of Thessalonica tonight and into Berea. So if you work with me, we're going to get him out of there, amen. At least get him into Berea, where they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. So take your Bibles, go over to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, if you would, stand with me if you're able. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. If you're discipling, you are dismissed. I apologize. I forgot to mention that. Those that are discipling. By the way, we've got a good group of folks being discipled presently, and that is encouraging. Sooner or later, they'll all filter back in here with us. Amen. But right now, they are being discipled, and so we're really, really excited about what God is doing with our discipleship program. Amen. By the way, if you did go through that book with us, First Steps for New Christians, then that means you are qualified to disciple someone. Amen. And so we're looking forward to people getting saved. Got some folks waiting in the wings as well to be discipled. Amen. Reyes family's being discipled now. Others are here being discipled. Amen. Steve's being discipled. Several others are gone. Amen. So we praise God for the discipleship program that we have and the disciplers as well as the disciplees. Amen. So put your name in the hat and be willing to disciple. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 8. And that's where we left off last week. And hopefully we'll get Paul down to verse number 13 at least. Amen. All right. Everybody there say amen. Ooh, that was one of those Wednesday, I'm tired, amens, amen. How many of y'all had a rough Wednesday? Rough Tuesday? Rough Monday? How many didn't have any problems at all this week? So we can worship you after the service, amen. Most of us had some difficulties and some challenges, amen. That's why we need the Wednesday rejuvenation, amen. All right, read with me starting in verse number 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. Amen. Isn't that just like troublemakers? Take the story and twist it out of proportion, amen, and to make things seem like they are not, amen. But that's what you're going to be against when you try to give out the gospel, whether it's at your jobs or in the public. That's what they do. You know, no prayer in school, no Bibles in school. You can't have Bible clubs. Let them tell it. You can't even have God, amen. If they could get rid of God, they would too, amen. They're against God, amen. But guess what? Most of that stuff is not true. Most of that stuff is not true. You can have the Bible in school. You can have Bible clubs. You can have all these things. They just want to make it seem like you can't to scare you off. Amen. Doing the same thing like they're doing here. Amen. Let's get a few things here tonight. And I pray that we'll glean a blessing from this. And you'll be encouraged as you leave here. Because you too may get the things that happened to Paul happen to you. But be of good cheer. Amen. God, Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Amen. Father, thank you once again for this passage of Scripture. Thank you that we can see the Apostle Paul being diligent despite the confusion, Lord, the complications that he is seeming to have with the gospel message. Lord, we know that this is just a sign of the times. It's going to get worse before it gets any better. Lord, this may be the most freedom that we will have with the gospel message before you come back, Lord Jesus, to come and get us. So I pray that it might be a blessing and an encouragement to us tonight as we look at what happened in Paul's life, Lord, as we go out with the gospel as well. May you utilize this time to just strengthen us more in the word of God, that we're doing what you have called us to do. And although we come against obstacles and opposition, it is still an opportunity for the gospel message to go out, that at least one soul might get saved. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, you may be seated. Well, Acts chapter 17, so far what we have covered in verse number 1, we saw Paul's consistent mission there in verse 1. And we saw in verse number 2, Paul's consistent manner. In verse number 3, Paul's consistent message. Notice what it says. He's opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. You know, we really have no other message than that. We don't have a message of, goodwill towards men, and there's reformation and there's all these other things. We have the gospel message that Jesus Christ was born. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. That's what's going to change people's lives. Amen. You know what? That's what changed my life. That's what changed my wife's life. That's what changed Shirley's life. That's what changed Charmaine's life. That's what changed Tamara's life. That's what changed every life in here that has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, there is no other message that we have for the world that's going to help them out for eternity but that message. Amen. And so Paul, he's opening and alleging that this Christ is the one Messiah for the Jews. Amen. And so that was his consistent message. But then in verse number 4, we saw Paul's consistent multitude. He always had those that believed and were saved, as we saw down there. But then he also had those that believed and also stayed and said they consorted with Paul and Silas. But then we saw in verse number 5, those that believed not, but also those that believe not and beat against the gospel message. Last time we were here last Wednesday, we told you that basically if this was the house where Saul was staying at, they grabbed a bunch of people from down in the marketplace and began to beat on the wall, beat on the door, basically. Bring him out. Bring him out. Bring Paul out. Bring Silas out here. We want them. Amen. They went down to the marketplace and got these lewd fellows of the bastard sort. By the way, anybody remember the parable where Jesus had, not really a parable, a story, where Jesus got the men and he said, go work in my vineyard, and they were in the marketplace? That's pretty much where these guys came from. They were in the marketplace normally just hanging out unemployed with nothing else to do, looking for something to do. These guys happened to be down at the marketplace, and they went down and grabbed these guys and said, I want you to stir up some controversy here. And so they were down in the marketplace just hanging out, doing a whole lot of nothing. Amen. How many of y'all ever gone downtown and seen these guys in those pods? They're doing a whole lot of nothing. You go down to the park, and what are they doing? A whole lot of nothing. Amen. And they're waiting for something. And so they went down and got these guys and had them stir up trouble. And by the way, was Paul and Silas doing anything wrong? Were they doing anything illegal? Were they getting on anybody's nerve? No. They was getting on one people's nerves. The Jews. Remember, they said they were moved with what? Envy. Why? They were jealous because the church down the road that Paul had started to preach at, getting some of their members, getting some of the Greeks, getting some of the devout men, getting some of the honorable women, and it says not a few. Now, wait a minute, if these are devout folks or these are some of the higher-ups, guess what? They got big tithe. And if they got big tithe, guess what? That's a big chunk coming out of the pocket of the Judaism here. And so they got mad. How dare you steal our church members? Amen. And they began to do that. Amen. So we left off with that right there. Amen. Some believed and stayed and got saved. Some believed not and beat against it. Amen. But then come down to verse number 6. We're going to see Paul's consistent menace. Paul's consistent menace. Now, the word menace means threat or troublesome or annoying. How many of y'all, before you got saved, you thought Christians were annoying? They were annoying you particularly. Amen? What'd they do to you, Mark?
They had the nerve to try to win me to Christ while I was studying for final exam.
Perish the thought, amen. They're going to try to witness to you while you're trying to study for a final exam. Amen. Don't they know you could flunk? Amen. Amen. Serge? Just annoying. And I remember Jonathan Hunter used to always say, Dawson, you just need to be saved. I mean, that was always what he'd say. You just need to get saved. You just need to get saved. Always. Every time I'd try to run the other way, see him coming. Amen. Because I knew what he's going to say. He's going to say, Dawson, you need to get saved. And I got to tell him the same thing. Amen. You just need to leave me alone. What was he? He was a menace to me. He was troublesome. He was annoying me. Amen. And so we see Paul's consistent menace. He's being a threat, or he's being troublesome or annoying. Notice what it says in verse 6. And when they found them not, who's the them? Paul and Silas. They drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these have turned the world upside down, or come hither also. So basically, when they start beating against the door, assaulting the house of Jason, saying, bring him out, bring him out. And Jason opens up the door, and Jason says, well, Paul and Silas aren't here. They said, well, will you come with us then? And so they grab Jason. They said, you're just as good as him. Amen. And they bought him. Wow. I think they'd say, well, since they're not here, that's good enough. But they didn't. They assaulted the house, and they said, look, here, this was going on. Now, notice what happened here. Now, by the way, where do y'all think Paul and Silas is at right now as this is going on? Huh? Probably hidden somewhere. Why are they hidden somewhere? Thanks, Brother Hall. Why do you think they're hidden? They were being looked for. Jeremiah? Riots are obvious. Amen. By the way, you get a group of folk together and they start doing crazy things. You ever notice that? Remember that? Who's that? U of A, when they went to the last year and they went to the, was it Sweet 16? Where'd they go? They did something. They started rioting downtown. And you think, wait a minute, I think it's an NBA championship or something? Amen. Folks do some crazy things. Amen. And so they're being hidden right now. Amen. So having not found Paul and Silas, the crowd drew Jason and the others out to accuse them of being accomplices, basically. We know they're in your house somewhere. They're upstairs. They're downstairs. They're in the basement. You got them somewhere. So they drug them out and accused them of being accomplices, so to speak. By the way, I remember Pastor White, when I was back in Belgium and I was a courier, I think I told y'all this story, and I used to leave tracks everywhere I went. So we went to Holland at the, Luxembourg, at the one of the agencies in Luxembourg, and I left my tracks like I always do. And my colleague, who is Dutch, and of course I'm American, and we're in Luxembourg. I left the track there, amen, and one of the guys saw it there and accused my coworker of leaving the track. And so my coworker quickly ratted me out. He said, I didn't do it. It was him. What happened? They got on him because he was an accomplice. He was with me. So what'd they do? They quickly got him, and then he pointed to me. And Sergeant Dawson, as his manner was, says, yes, I left it. Matter of fact, let me tell you what it says. And guess what? The guy just kind of looked at me like, okay. I said, and you can keep that, by the way. And he just kind of looked at me. And then as we left out, Franz Moyman said, I can't believe you just did that. I can't believe you. Do you know who he is? I said, I don't have a clue who he is. I know he needs Jesus. He said, but he's the head. He's the man. He's the head man. I said, I don't care what kind of head he got on him. Amen. He needs Jesus. He said, I can't believe you just did that. Well, he asked me what it was. What should I tell him? What am I going to say? I don't know what it is. It was, this was your life. And I told him, this is what it says. Amen. Granted, Franz had, after we finally got to church, amen, he kind of had a change of heart. Amen. He got turned on fire. Amen. But anyway, they drew him out there. Amen. It says, this is their statement here. And they cried, saying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Amen. Now, by the way, when they bring them up to the rulers of the city, that's what they're crying. Wouldn't you like to have that term placed upon you? These that have turned the world upside down are called hither also. Amen. Paul had a reputation, no matter where he went, he was going to make some things happen. Amen. Paul did not leave a town neutral. You was either going to be for his message or against his message. You're going to be for him or against him. Amen. By the way, when we have a message, people should be for our message or against our message after we leave them. There is no room for neutral. Amen. You're going to be either on one side or the other. Amen. You're for me or you're against me, Jesus Christ said. Amen. By the way, these guys are so mad because Paul oftentimes would go into a town, people would get saved, and then stop sinning and buying sinful things, cutting into the sinful profits of people, amen? In this case, he's going into synagogue and getting people actually genuinely born again, getting them genuinely saved, amen? But anytime a gospel message is preached, amen, things should happen. How many of y'all remember the Untouchables? Remember, Elliot Ness and Al Capone were the two key people there. What was Elliot Ness? What was his job basically? What was he trying to do? Clean up what? Clean up the city. Amen. Now I'm from Joliet, amen, which is close to Chicago, and basically they were doing some bootlegging, amen. And if you remember, Prohibition was going on. What was Prohibition? No alcohol. And so on one side, you had Elliot Ness and the Untouchables, who was against the alcohol, trying to enforce the law. On the other hand, you had Al Capone and his cohorts in crime trying to make the distillery and whatnots like that. Amen. By the way, why was this such good business? It was against the law, number one. Yes. Why else was this such good business? Yes, Jeremiah. It was hard to get your hands on it. That's right. Why else was it good business? Money was worth something. Amen. That's true. Why else was this good business, Mark?
It made money for the cops, and it also allowed them to charge more.
Allowed them to charge more. Amen. Money for the cops. Amen. Why else was this good business, sir? People wanted it. There it is. How many of y'all heard of supply and demand? This was such big business because there was none and they were producing it. But there was only one problem. It was illegal. And so these guys had the legal stuff and there was demand for it. On this side, Elliot Ness said, but that's illegal and y'all can't do that. And so what you have is supply and demand. Every time Paul went into a town to preach the gospel, he would preach and people would stop sinning. They would stop the demand. By the way, you don't stop sin. You got to stop the demand for sin because there's always going to be a supplier for sin. It's always going to be. Why do you think pornography is such big business? Because there's a demand for it. Why do you think alcohol and drugs, illegal drugs, is such big business? There's a demand. Does it do me any good to wipe out the supply? They'll make more. Does me no good to wipe out the supply. They'll just find more and make more. You wipe out Al Capone, there goes Al DeBone. You wipe out him, there goes Al Sabone. Amen. There's another one always around the corner. Amen. So just because there's a demand doesn't do us any good. Guess what? I've got to make sure I cut out the demand. And guess what? You can make it all you want to. And guess what they're going to buy? Nothing. What Paul is doing here, he's going into town after town after town, and he's changing the town one at a time by getting them saved and cutting out the demand in folks' life for sin. And when people get saved, guess what? The demand for sin goes down. It diminishes. And so they're upset. Matter of fact, you're going to see a whole lot of this later on. Amen. By the way, there was demand and Al Capone was going to supply the need. Amen. It's the same way today with drugs and pornography. If there is a demand, wicked people will supply the need all the time. Amen. If there is no demand, there will be no need for supply. And that's what the gospel does. It cuts down the demand for sin. Amen. The bootleggers aren't making any money off of me. The tobacco industry is not making any money off of me. The illegal drugs are not making any money off of me. The pornography is not making any money off of me. Why? There is no demand for it in my life. Amen. And what happened? The gospel changed me. And when the gospel changed me, the demand in my life went down for sin. And that's what happens, folks. And that's what's going to happen here. That's how to change a town one at a time. Amen. You don't cut out the supply. You cut out the demand for sin by the gospel changing lives, demand for sin. Amen. By the way, when's the last time you bought some illegal stuff? When's the last time you bought some legal stuff that's sin? Hey, the more the gospel changes you, the more that diminishes. The supply is always going to be there. Supply is always going to be. Why? Because people want it. You're not going to ever cut pornography out. You're not going to ever cut child pornography out. You're not going to ever cut alcohol out. You're not going to ever cut any of those illegal things out because there is a demand in people's lives for that sin. Y'all with me? And so Paul has the right idea. Get people saved. And when they get saved, amen, they'll stop their sin. And that's what we have going on here, amen. And by the way, one of the reasons these people didn't want to get saved was because they believed that Jesus would turn their world upside down. Notice what he said. These that have turned their world upside down are come hither also. People think that if they get saved, they're going to become Jesus freaks. You eat, drink, live, and breathe Jesus. I'm Jesus, 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 Jesus. What's the answer? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What's the answer over here? Jesus, Jesus. Where are you going? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And people think that they're just going to become Jesus freaks. By the way, is there anything wrong with that? Is Jesus the answer for everything? Yes, he is. He's the answer for everything, and he's the cure for everything. Amen. But these folks knew that their world was going to get turned upside down. By the way, let's just take a census here. What did you know you were going to have to drop when you got saved? Give me some input. What did you know you were going to drop when you got saved? Mike? Rock and roll music, all right? What else? What was that? Country music too, amen. What else? What did you know? You knew you was going to drop this when you got saved. Smoking, amen. What else? Fred? Who? Cursing, okay. What else? Lily? Amen, amen. So in other words, she know her life going to change when she read this book. Amen. Pretty much. That's why she doesn't want it. Amen. Amen. What's some other things? We knew if I got saved, we got to stop this. We got to change it. What else? If I get saved, this has got to stop. Yes, Linda?
Your own self-desire.
Self or selfish? Amen. Amen. What else? We know if I get saved, I got to stop this.
Certain friends.
I talked about that last week. By default, they dropped me. Amen. What else? Yes, Rose. Wicked things for our eyes. Amen. Most of us, if we came to Christ later on in life, we knew there were some things that we had to stop before we got saved. We knew that already. Amen. Because we knew what this book says. You can't have your sin and have Jesus too. Amen. You just can't do it. And so before we got saved, many of us already knew, if I get saved, my life's going to change. It's going to get turned upside down. Amen. There's some things that's going to happen. Amen. In my life. And so these folks said, these that have turned the world upside down have come here also. Amen. Because we knew there were some things that we were doing probably that didn't please God. Amen. And so there were some things that we knew that were going to have to stop. Amen. By the way, they folks believe this. They'll believe that now that I'm saved, I'll have to cover my body body with some clothes. Now that I'm saved, I have to remove my piercings on my body. I have to remove my tattoos. I have to stop drinking. I have to stop cussing. I have to stop fussing. I have to go to church every day. I have to read my Bible every day. I have to pray every day. I have to stop all my sin. I have to stop all my foolishness. In other words, they believe Jesus will actually turn their world upside down. So many people say, I ain't getting saved. Because if I get saved, Jesus is going to turn my world upside down. By the way, that's how I thought. I thought, I can't come to God the same way I am. He's going to change everything that I do. I mean, I'm not going to be able to smoke no more. I'm not going to be able to drink no more. I ain't going to be able to do this. But God, by the way, but guess what stopped me? I was more afraid of hell. And the Holy Spirit pressed upon my heart that, son, if you get saved and you keep all that foolishness, you're going to go to hell right along with that foolishness. Now, you make the choice. Mama didn't raise no food. I said, you know what? I may be doing all that stuff, but I'm getting saved. Amen. And guess what? Sure enough, Jesus did change my life. He did change me and turn me upside down. Amen. Or as we're going to say, right side up. Amen. By the way, when it comes to this, amen, let's look at some things here. Because if you notice this, the Bible says that there were some folks got saved, but the multitudes didn't get saved. Amen. By the way, are we going to see a worldwide revival before Jesus comes? No, we're not. We're not. We're not. We're not. Go over to 2 Timothy. You can pray for it all you want to, but it ain't going to happen. Amen. Now, should that stop us from witnessing? No. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It was the same in Paul's time, and Paul is actually writing this, and it's going to be the same in our time. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and notice verse number, I'm in 1 Timothy, that doesn't work, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 3. Notice what he says here. Let's start in verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Are we in the last days? Perilous times are going to come then. Men should be lovers of their own selves. That's what Linda was talking about. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. Now, Paul is writing this over 2,000 years ago, amen. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And then come down to verse number 13, because he continues to tell you about this group of people here. And notice what he says. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Notice this, but evil men and seducers shall what? Wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So it's going to get worse. What did Jesus say was going to be like before he came back? He said, like in the days of Noah and Lot with Sodom and Gomorrah. In Noah's time, only 8 people got saved. Amen. Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, it's basically that's right now. I mean, I think they just started a church some side street they call it the church unity.
Oh man. And how, amen. And how. Now, by the way, why is it not going to get better? If we have the gospel and we're giving out the gospel, why is it not going to get better? Rose? There are more cults out there than there are Christians, amen? Yes, Stephanie?
I think the devil's just working overdrive because he knows God's coming soon and he wants as many people as he can get.
And that there's a lot of truth to that. By the way, is God allowing this to happen?
Yeah.
But now, why is God allowing this to happen? Jeremiah? They do have their own free will. Who's coming eventually besides Jesus? The Antichrist. The Antichrist has got to have a market sort of like Elliot Ness and Al Capone, where people have a demand for sin and ungodliness and wickedness, and they want it more than they want righteousness. And they're going to want it so much that they'll play right into the hands of the Antichrist. It'll be total lawlessness. Everybody's got a right to do what they want to do. It's going to be like in the days of Judges. How many of y'all would like to have lived during the Judges when everybody did that which was right in his own eyes? I mean, the cat's going to have rights. The dog's going to have rights. Your goldfish is going to have rights. Amen. Your pet food is going to have rights. Amen. Your plants are going to have rights. Your rights are going to have rights. And Christians are going to be wrong, because everybody else is right. Notice what Jesus said about this time. Notice in Luke 18:8. So pray as we will for a worldwide revival, and we should do everything that we can, because just like in Paul's preaching, there's always going to be somebody's getting saved. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Luke 18, and notice in verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what on earth? Faith. Faith is going to be a rare commodity. Folks are not going to believe. Why? There's going to be, as Rose says, so many cults, so much foolishness out there. Folks are not going to know what to believe. Everybody's just right. Every cult is right. Everything is right. Amen. But guess what? Everybody's going to be all wrong. At the rapture, guess what? How many saved people are going to be left? Zero. No saved people left at all. So guess what? How much righteousness are we going to have left then? Zero. But will people still have an opportunity to get saved? Yes, because they will still have access to this book, the Word of God. Amen. So when you look at this, we're dealing with a time period that Paul talked about that's really happening right now, where people don't want to hear the Bible, and they think that you're going to turn their world upside down. If they get saved, they're going to be turned upside down. By the way, let me squelch that rumor. They'll be turned right side up. Amen. By the way, certain times you go to the stores and it says on there, this side up. Why do the packages say this side up? So you don't turn it upside down. What would be the travesty of turning it upside down? Might all fall out. Amen. Might all fall out. Might get mixed up. Hey, by the way, this world is upside down right now. Their morality has fallen out. Amen. Their sexuality has fallen out. Amen. Their humanistic skills has fallen out. Their honesty has fallen out. Their respect has fallen out. Their godliness has fallen out. Their lack of chastity has fallen out. Everything about them has fallen out because they're upside down. And they've opened the box and everything has fallen out. They've got nothing left. And here comes along a Christian like Paul, preaching the Bible. You're just trying to turn my world upside down. No, I'm actually trying to turn your right side up. I'm actually trying to turn you the right way. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let's go over there real quick. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. And y'all are not moving fast enough on this message. Amen. Y'all were supposed to have been already down to getting Paul into Berea. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Y'all got him still stranded up in Thessalonica getting beat. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what kind of creature? He's a new creature, new creation. What about the old things? Old things are passed away. What's everything? All things are become new or becoming new. Amen. Why do boxes stay this side up? Amen. So the contents don't fall out. People have lost everything in their life that resembles godliness. Amen. Because of sin. And God now wants to set us right side up. And so these boxes say this side up because often we don't know which way is up. Can I get amen? Our children are being totally indoctrinated now to think that two girls together is okay and two guys together is okay, and they can actually get married and raise a family and it's okay. They're getting brainwashed to think that that's right side up. Folks, that is upside down. God created Adam and Eve, as they would say, not Adam and Steve. Amen. It just doesn't work that way. You can't even produce children with Adam and Steve. Neither can you do it with Bethel and, or what's another girl's name? Bethel and Sue. You put Bethel and Sue together, they cannot have one baby. You put Adam and Steve together, they cannot have one baby. And guess what? We will go extinct very, very quickly. Very quickly. Amen. Man, that's what happened in China. They started regulating China's ability to have babies and children. Guess what? They're having less and less kids now in China. Amen. You mess with God's plan, amen, if you want to, amen. So when you look at this, they accuse Paul and Silas of turning their world upside down, and that's the accusation. Go back over to Acts chapter 17. By the way, when it comes to eternal life, amen, we don't know which way is up, and we need the Bible. When it comes to death and hell, we don't know which way is up without Jesus Christ. When it comes to turning our world right side up from being upside down, we need the gospel. We need Jesus. We need this word that Paul is preaching here, amen, and they need it as well. By the way, the problem is people have been upside down so long, they actually believe that upside down is right side up. You talk to some of these children, some of these schools, you say, is there anything wrong with two men getting married? You know what they'll say? No, if that's what they want to do. Is there anything wrong with two ladies getting married? No. Anything wrong with two men getting married? No, if that's what they want to do. Well, how about if they want to go and rob candy from the store? Is that okay? No, now that's not right. So it's wrong to rob, but it's not wrong for two ladies to get together. And the same book contains both. What they're doing is picking and choosing what they want to give these little children, amen. And because they're doing that, they've been upside down so long, they don't know right side up. Pastor Bennett gave the illustration of when he was, when he had Lynette Bennett as a baby. She had picked up a pine cone. And she said, Daddy, what's this? And he said, it's an acorn. He called it an acorn. And so she began calling a pine cone an acorn. And she got older. And some folks said, that's a pine cone. She said, no, that's an acorn. They said, no, that's a pine cone. No, it's an acorn because my daddy told me. What happened? She was upside down. And she had been upside down so long that she believed upside down was right side up and that everybody else was wrong. What am I saying? Our children are being indoctrinated right now, and many of us have been indoctrinated as well, that now a right side up seems foreign to you. By the way, Pastor White, when I got saved, before I got saved, I did the math. And I had drank every day of my life since 19, it was too far to go back. But I drank every day. Every day, and most days blacking out. And right before I got saved, I thought, if I get saved, I ain't going to be able to drink for the rest of my life. And I began doing the math. How many days I've been intoxicated, and now Jesus is going to tell me to put the bottle away. And I thought, that's impossible. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't not drink. This is a hard saying. But you know what, Brad? The Holy Spirit was saying, it's a worse thing if you go to hell. And you're going to let some drinking keep you from getting saved? Guess what? I said, look, you do what you're going to do. I'm going to do what I got to do. Amen. I got saved. But when I did the math, I thought, that's upside down. What's wrong with drinking? I shouldn't have to give up drinking because I get saved. But inside my heart, I knew I was upside down. And I knew it was right side up. And this is how I could determine it. If I don't drink the rest of my life, will there any harm come from it? No. If I keep drinking the rest of my life, is there any harm? Sclerosis of the liver, DUI, and the list went on. Lose a job, bad health, spending all my money. Man, when I stopped drinking, Kenny, I had a whole lot of tithe money. I had a whole lot of tithe money. I didn't even know I had so much money to tithe off of. When that club bill stopped coming in. Amen. What am I saying here? I'm putting sin and wrong so long that they think right is wrong and right is wrong, or it's upside down. How many of y'all learned the Star Spangled Banner before you saw the words? And you didn't have somebody to teach it to you right. And so instead of saying, oh, say, can you see? Your mind said, Jose, can you see? That's what my mind said. I didn't have any words. I'm like, what they saying? Jose, can you see? I didn't know Jose was trying to see, amen, but I figured he's going to try to see it. Jose does that Star Spangled Banner. Yeah, I said, does Jose even see that thing up there? Amen. I didn't know. How many of y'all thought it was Jose? I was the only one that thought it was Jose. Y'all didn't go to the Catholic school I went to because we was all saying Jose, amen. And nobody corrected us. And then we got the words in front of us. We said, that doesn't say Jose. That says Jose. We thought, man, somebody left Jose's name out of these song lyrics. What happened? We had been upside down so long that when somebody showed us right side up, we thought they were crazy. This is a song about Jose, not Jose. Hey, what am I saying? It's the same way in the world today. People have been in sin so long that they think their world is right side up and it's upside down. They're accusing Paul and Silas of turning their world upside down, and you're coming here to do the same thing. How dare you stop my sin? By the way, some think shacking up is right. They think piercings are right. They think tattoos are right. They think drinking and cussing and fussing is right. Rebellion is right. Immorality is right. Divorcing is right. Abortion is right. Disrespect is right. My way is right. Religion is right. It's all right. You talk to them. Why do you think President Obama won that election? He was for abortion. He was for same-sex marriages, and a whole lot of people was for it too. He was for a lot of that stuff. Hey, matters not what the Bible says. Well, a woman's right to choose. What about the baby's right to choose? Let's go there. Let's even stop there. What about God's right to choose? Let's just stop with the book. Amen. Folks don't want that. Oh, you're turning my world upside down, preacher. Amen. We don't want that. Amen. Luke 8:35. Go over there with me real quick. Most people think just Jesus is just a menace to my life. You're going to turn my world upside down. And folks, we're going to still leave Paul in Thessalonica. Luke chapter 8 and verse 35. Of course, many of you know the maniac of Gadara. Of course, prior to him getting saved, what was he? He was naked. He was no clothes. They couldn't chain him up. He broke the chains all the time. He'd run around cutting himself and things of that nature. He meets Jesus here. Jesus cast the demon out. Notice verse number 35 of chapter number 8. Matter of fact, go up to verse 27. It says, when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, wear no clothes, neither born in any house, but in the tombs. Now come over to verse number 35. Then they went out to see what was done. Jesus, of course, had cast the demon out. And came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils departed. Notice they're sitting at the feet of Jesus. What is that? That's right side up. What else do you find him? Clothed. What is that? Right side up. What else do you find him? In his right mind. What is that? That's right side up. And notice the reaction. And they were afraid. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me y'all weren't afraid of when he was a lunatic running out here in the tombs cutting himself and you couldn't bind him? You wasn't afraid then? And now he's sitting in his right mind with some clothes on and y'all are afraid now? This world is upside down. Jesus did a great thing and they're afraid. Hey, wait a minute. That's why people don't want to get saved. They're afraid of what's going to happen. It's going to turn my world upside down. Their accusation against Paul and Silas was nothing other than they turn the world upside down. And they're going to try and come here and turn our world upside down. And next week, we're going to see some of the bogus charges they bring against them. Some bogus charges. Go back to Acts chapter 17. I don't know about you, but the main reason why I didn't get saved because I thought Jesus was going to turn my world upside down. And as a 27-year-old boy, a young man getting ready to celebrate my golden birthday. I was about to turn 28. I had planned all my life to hang it on when I turned 28, man. My golden birthday, man, I'm going to have a big bash. I'm going to do all this partying, all this liquor. I'm going to do it up at 28. I got saved February the 3rd, 1991, right before my birthday. My birthday came around. I turned 28. Guess what? 28. Whoopee. But guess what? I was clothed, was in my right mind, and I was excited. I was more upset that my plans that I had made all my life got broken. Amen. But you know what? I wouldn't have changed it for nothing. Wouldn't have changed it for nothing. Amen. Why? I was saved now. Clothed and in my right mind. Amen. Most people think Jesus is just a menace to my life to turn my world upside down. But on the contrary, Jesus wants to turn people's lives right side up. And they made this accusation against Paul, and we're going to stop verse number 7. And we'll talk about it a little bit more next week. Whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. Did Paul say anything like that? Nah. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So not even going to try to bring Caesar in this. Not even going to try to bring this other king in here and say that Jesus is trying to take over Rome's spot. Matter of fact, Jesus himself says, my kingdom is not of this world. He said, if it was, my servants would fight. Matter of fact, Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Render unto God the things that are God's. So they took his whole message out of context here and trying to say that Paul here now is giving decrees contrary to what we're supposed to do. And by the way, when's the last time you heard Christians rioting in an uproar, trying to assault someone's house to get their way? Normally you don't have that. On the contrary, that's what they're doing. And the very thing that they're accusing Paul and Silas of doing, they're doing themselves. The very thing. Talk about a hypocrite. Went down to the marketplace, got these lewd fellows of the bastard sort to assault the house, bringing them out. And then saying, they're teaching us to do contrary to Caesar, and they're doing the same thing. But amen, we'll talk about that next week. But you know what? If you go down the history books, Christians have always been the nonviolent. Christians have always been the ones that were not going to be aggressive in regards to retaliation. You always find them being burnt at the stake, thrown to the animals. You never find them fighting back. And so how could that possibly turn your world upside down? Easy, when you have a demand for sin. When you have a demand for sin and the gospel stops sin and you still want to capitalize on sin, guess what? That's going to make somebody upset. Hey, don't be alarmed in your office when you start touting the word of God and people start getting right and doing things right and then it shines the light on somebody that's doing things wrong. They're going to get a little upset with you. Mark, now I can't fudge on my time clock anymore. Now I got to actually be here. Duh, that's a novel thing. Pastor, now I can't clock out early without the boss knowing. Because I asked Joe over here is Joe Perkins here? Not Joe. He asked Bob over here to clock me out while in a half hour. And I'm not there. Well, why'd you want to do that? Well, Bob got saved now. And he told me he won't clock me out a half hour now. Well, amen. See, the gospel begins to change people. It begins to turn people's worlds right side up. They begin to do things right. And people don't like that now. Hey, when I got saved, man, my boss would start saying, can you do this? I said, no, I'm not doing that because that's not right. That's not right. That's not right. They're like, what's wrong with you? I got saved. Well, you used to do it. I said, I used to do a lot of things. But I don't do it anymore. Well, what happened? I got saved. My life got turned right side up. Now, yours is still upside down because you still want me to do that. Amen. But I'm telling you that I am right side up. Hey, a lot of things change when you get saved, amen? And that's the message that Paul is preaching. That's the message that they're against. That is the message that they have accused them of saying. They have turned this world upside down. By the way, folks, that should be our testimony. When we go and we witness to people, or don't leave them the same way, amen? Make sure they know there is a difference to your life and their life. There's a reason why you don't do what they do. Your life has been turned right side up. Theirs is still upside down. And they say, well, why is your life upside down? Mine's is not. Mine's is right side up. I'm clothed, sitting in my right mind at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Then they'll be afraid. Oh, you're one of those people. Jesus people. Oh, I heard about you guys. But what'd you hear? You guys are strange. No, we're actually sane. You're strange. I'm doing things right. You're doing things all wrong. By the way, folks, we are the sane ones. We are the right ones. They are the ones that are wrong. But guess what? It's more of them than it is of us. That's the sad part. But the Antichrist is going to take full advantage of that. And he's going to take that right to the bank. Let's do our part in telling people that we're right side up. And let them see that our way is God's way and it's the right way. Their way is the wrong way, and it's upside down. Father, thank you for this time. God, I know many of us in here have been accused by our family members, friends and coworkers and classmates alike. And they've accused us of being upside down. But Lord, in reality, we're right side up. Help us to make a difference, Lord, letting people see that the box says this side up because the contents will drop out. The contents might get mixed up and people's lives have dropped out the morality. They've dropped out the conviction. People's lives have dropped out everything that's right by God. Their lives have dropped out and poured out everything that God, you stand for. Lord, we know evil men and seducers. The Bible says will wax worse and worse. But help us do our part to save those that might believe and those that would consort or stay with us. Lord, help us do our part to make a difference. Thank you so much for loving us. Be with our prayers tonight, Lord, and guide them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, you do have your prayer bulletins. The young people are